we open to 3 John. And what John is going to do, the apostle, he's going to put some names to this truth and love thing. He's going to give us some examples of people from church history who were alive in the apostle John's day, examples of what it looks like to walk in truth and love. That is helpful. And I praise God for 3 John. I've been blessed as I've been studying it. Sometimes maybe you're like me. You got a flesh just like me, right? When we read these doctrines in the Bible, sometimes we imagine these doctrines, they're just in a vacuum. It's hard for us to put flesh and blood on them. You know, it's hard to put blue jeans on a doctrine. But that is just what examples do for us. So John is going to, he's not just going to call us to truth and love. He's going to hold some men who actually lived in the early church who are examples that show us what it looks like to walk in truth and love. And he's going to show us one guy, he's going to call him out by name, who is an example of what it looks like to not walk in truth and love. All right? So that's what we're looking at this morning in 3 John. First, we're going to meet a man named Gaius. So if you would, let's read 3 John verses 1 through 8 as we look at examples of truth and love. The elder, so this is John referring to himself as a pastor and as an elder. The elder to the beloved Gaius. He's writing this letter to an individual, a man named Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Amen. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name. Let me read that again. Look at that phrase. Let it hit you this morning. They have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So if you would, pause your reading right there, and let's look at this man named Gaius. Quickly, the letters of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, a lot of scholars believe they came together as a packet. They came, John sent a courier to deliver these letters. There was a community of churches in Asia, in this region. They kind of were buddies. They were sister churches. And John knew them and had a relationship with them. He sent 1 John to them to be passed around to each of the churches. It's a circular letter for all the churches. He wrote 2 John to a particular, specific local church in that region. 2 John starts, the elder to the elect lady. Went blank there. The elect lady and her children. So a special church, a particular church, and he had a reason to write them. But 3 John is written not to a church, but to a man, Gaius. And he is believed to be some prominent member of a church. It doesn't say he's a pastor, but he is a man involved in one of the churches in that region. So John writes to him, and he's heard some testimony about this man from some of the brothers who traveled and passed through that region. They came back to the old Apostle John, and they had a good report about Gaius. Now, really, it's two things that they report to John about Gaius. The first is, he walks in truth. We saw that in verse 3 and 4. He says, for I rejoiced greatly. That means I got really happy. All right? Picture the old man. He's the last living apostle, John. He's old, elderly, and he receives a report about Gaius. Picture him smiling. Can you do that? You got it. Sometimes we think of Jesus and the apostles and they're stern. And man, here's a guy, here's the apostle who loved the church. He's already written about that in 2 John. And he imagine him laughing to himself. A big smile just kind of cracking the lips, the face of the old apostle as he hears about Gaius. His heart is encouraged by the Holy Spirit when he hears a good testimony about a brother there. I mean, there has been some trouble in that region. Those churches have had a split. There have been a group of people who left the church. 1 John 2:19 says they went out from us, but they were not of us. They went out from us. They stopped believing the truth. And they quit walking in love. They left God's people to go kind of do their own thing. And so John was worried. As a pastor, he had a concern. He's the elder writing to these guys. But then he hears a report about one of the guys in the church. And these brothers come and they say, he is walking in the truth, John. He has not left with those other guys that twisted the gospel and rejected the gospel teachings. Gaius is holding firm to the doctrine of Jesus. The apostle rejoiced greatly. When these brothers came and testified to your truth, that you are walking in the truth. And so Gaius is a believer. Isn't it interesting that Christians are called believers? Have you ever used that term? Or maybe you've asked somebody, hey, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why are we called believers? Because we believe the truth that Christ has given us. The set of teachings. Remember, Jude called it the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Jesus came from the Father and taught us. And He passed these teachings to the apostles. And He said, go and teach this everywhere. Teach them to obey everything I ever taught you. That's the Great Commission. Make disciples, baptize them, and teach them everything I commanded you. Teach them to obey everything I commanded you. And those apostles did it, man. They went out and planted churches, and they gave them that set of teachings. And entrusted, they appointed elders and pastors in the churches to teach these truths. And so we are called believers because we believe the truth about Jesus. Gaius is a believer. He is hanging on to the truth. He may have personally known some of these guys who left the church. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. This is all we know about this man, Gaius, from what we read right here. But we know that in that region, some people had left the church. Maybe Gaius had heard their false teaching. But he has not believed it. He has stood firm on the gospel. And John has heard that testimony. I want to point out in the book of 3 John, the word testified or testimony is used 5 times. And it kind of draws our focus and attention on this idea of vouching for somebody in the church. We testify about each other. In fact, maybe you've never thought of church membership this way. Mark Dever explains church membership. Church membership is us saying that I vouch for this person. They profess Jesus to be their Savior, and as far as I can tell by their works, they're a good brother or a good sister. That's what church membership is. We're vouching for each other's testimony. We're saying, I believe that person is saved. That's also why when one of our members walks in unrepentant sin, that's why we put them out of the church, because we can no longer vouch for their testimony. Does that make sense? So church membership is saying, as far as I can tell, I can't see people's heart, but by the fruit and the evidence, I believe we're brothers and sisters. So that's 3 John is kind of, we get that taste of that. John is, he's heard the brothers vouch for Gaius. They said he's walking in the truth. So let me ask you a question today. How's your testimony among the brothers and sisters in the church? The brothers came to John and said, we have a good report about Gaius. The Bible says in Proverbs, a good name is worth more than gold. You ever heard that proverb? To have a good name, a good report about yourself. In other words, God's grace has worked in your life so much that other people see God's work in you. They can see, no one's perfect, that's not what we're talking about. We're still being molded, we still repent when we sin. But after a while, people begin to notice the transforming grace of God on our lives. Amen? And it blesses them. Church member this morning, member of the church at Meadow Lake, has God worked in your life with such grace that the other brothers and sisters notice a change in you? They see the glory of God shining as you walk with God. When you sin, they see you repent. Go to the brother you've wronged and say, I was wrong. They see you do that. Is that your testimony this morning? Would other believers this morning, would they be able to say, that brother or that sister is walking in the truth? Have you ever considered that? How do you walk in the truth? It means that we're believing the gospel and we're making that known. It means that as God helps us, we are living out the truths of the Scripture, and the church sees us living it out. Who is seeing you live out the truth of the Scripture? Who could report to the Apostle John, if he were alive today, that you are walking in the truth? You see, there's got to be an external part to our faith, isn't it? Amen? Our faith is not just a private, internal thing. The Bible, I mean, it starts there. But the Bible teaches it's going to overflow into evidence. It's going to overflow in the production of fruit of the Spirit. Things like love and joy and peace, and we're patient with people. And when they see that in us, they see the evidences of our transformation. So I want to leave that question with you from the first section here. Who would be able to testify that, man, that brother, that sister, that church down at Meadow Lake, they are walking in the truth. They love the gospel down at that church. They talk about truth to one another and to the world at that church. We ought to desire that testimony. Amen? We ought to live, guys, so that our neighbors and the ones in our community would see us and say, man, they know truth at that church. The believers there are growing in the truth. They know how to explain the teachings of Jesus to people. May God do that in us. Amen? Amen? All right. You're with me. All right. But Gaius did not just have a testimony that he was walking in truth. This was a balanced dude, all right? A lot of people, if they're all about truth, man, they struggle loving people. That's just, sometimes that's the way it is. Some people that are real loving, man, they really can't articulate truth very well. God, as we've seen in this study, wants us to be both. He wants us to be balanced in truth and love. Which wing of the airplane is most important, right? Truth and love. We got to have them both working together, flowing in and out of each other. Gaius is a balanced guy, according to this report. He didn't just walk in truth, but John heard the testimony that he's walking in love. This is a great example. You may have never heard about Gaius before this morning, but Gaius is he was a real man, a real part of the early church who knew the apostle. He heard the gospel from the apostle, and he believed it, and he walked in love. How do we know Gaius walked in love? Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, this is verse 5 and 6. These brothers who testified to your love before the church. So, man, I want to be like Gaius when I grow up. Anybody else? He walks in truth. He can tell the gospel. When he hears false teaching, he's not going along with it. But he's also a loving man. So that the report came back to John, he has truth and he has love. And so, I asked you this morning, how's your testimony about truth? Let me ask you this. How is your testimony this morning about love? Do other people in our church see God's love in you? Are you known as a loving person in the church? What about the people you work with or go to school with or your neighbors? Would they describe you as someone who believes the truth of Jesus Christ? And man, they love people. Hey, we fall short, don't we? We've got improvement needed. We need to repent from how we fall short in being people of the truth and love. God is gracious to give us examples. Jesus is the ultimate example. But here's a man named Gaius that the Word of God is setting before us. He was a sinful man like us, but he, according to the grace of God in his life, walked in truth and he walked in love. Now, I want to ask you something. How did Gaius show his love? It tells us in the text. If you didn't read it this morning and I just asked you, how would you be known as a person of love? We would probably answer that question, they're really nice to people. Or, they do things that let us know they care. But John is going to point to a very specific action of Gaius. And when he saw that action, he knew that's a man of love. What was it? It was where he put his money. If you want to know what you love, look at where your money goes. Let me say that again. That can be a tough one. If you really want to know what you love in life, look at the money trail. Because we put our money behind what's important to us, don't we? And Gaius was putting his money in the gospel. He was supporting traveling Christian missionaries who had gone out into the world to evangelize, to build churches. If you remember from 2 John, okay, if you weren't here last week, in 2 John there were some false teachers that had gone out to corrupt the churches. They were going around these churches spreading false doctrine. And John said, don't support those guys, because if you support these false teachers, you're going to share in their wicked works. But in 3 John, it's just the opposite. He says, hey Gaius, I've heard that you're supporting the true teachers. You need to keep doing that, because just like those who support the false teachers are sharing in their evil, when we put our money behind men and women who are going out into the world for Christ, we share in their good works. So in other words, if you read 2 John, he says, don't support false teachers. And if you read 3 John, he says, support true missionaries. We learn that whoever we support, we share in their mission. We partner in them in a very powerful way. So, sorry about that. That's better. All right. When we look at 3 John here, we see how Gaius was showing love. Now, this is a challenge to us because we're stingy with our money by nature. And what happens when we get saved is that God begins to change our hearts so that we become more and more generous with our money towards His kingdom. You remember Zacchaeus, right? Classic example. He loved money. He was a tax collector. He had kind of taken a little more than his share. And when Jesus came to him, this little guy was so humbled by the love of Jesus Christ that he repented of his greed. And you remember what Zacchaeus did? He made a big profession of faith before everybody. And what he said was, Lord, if I have wronged anybody, I'm going to give it back with extra. You see, God's grace hits us in our money. So this is not really a sermon about money. It's a teaching about love. But do you see that when we love God and His kingdom, we will love these workers by supporting them with money, with hospitality, not just money, with our time, with our help, with our efforts. And so the situation here is that Gaius is supporting some traveling workers, even though they weren't old buddies to Gaius. Verse 5 said that they're strangers to him. He didn't even know these guys, but he knew that they were workers of the truth, and so he was faithfully serving them. Now, John the Apostle is agreeing with that. He's saying, look, it is a faithful thing, verse 5. It's a faithful thing you do, Gaius, and all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. And he says, continue doing it. You will do well to send them on their journey, but don't give them too much, man, lest it go to their head. Now, that's not what he says. Look, send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. What does that mean? Generous. When someone is doing good work in the kingdom and they are holding to the truth of the gospel, then we are called to generously help them. Now, we all can't help in the same way. We all don't have the same ability to give financially. God blesses different ones of us. Some people seem to have a gift of just an extra helping of generosity in financial giving in the church. And praise God for these people. But we can all do something, right? We can stand with these workers. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. We can send them information, encouragement, scriptures, text them, reach out to them and say, I am praying for you and your work. We support some missionaries in this church. Very excited about some work going on in Lebanon there, a church planting effort. I want to encourage you, man. You can contact these people. You can reach out to them and say, we love you in our church here at Meadow Lake. We are praying for you and your work. That is how you walk in love, according to 3 John right here. What was the reason that these men needed help and that John encouraged him to help? He says, because they have gone out for the sake of the name. That phrase has been pounding in my head and my heart all week. These brothers had gone out for the sake of the name. What is the name? The name of Jesus. That is a beautiful way to describe their heart of worship. They've gone out for the sake of the name. Brothers and sisters, God created us for His glory. Amen? He made us to shine His glory. God doesn't exist for our benefit. We exist to give Him glory. And that was broken in the garden. But with the coming of Christ, when we are saved, the Bible says whatever we do, do for the glory of God. As a Christian, even in Corinthians, Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all in the name of Jesus. I want to ask us, brothers and sisters, this morning, do we love the name that is above every name? Have we been touched in our heart by the glory of Christ? Do you want to see the name of Jesus honored in Conway? The tragedy of unbelief in the world is that there are sections of the world where Jesus is not worshipped. And Jesus deserves to be worshipped in every corner of the globe. Do you believe that? He will be worshipped in every corner of the globe. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. And that's why people go out from the church. They are sent by the church. They need our help to go out. They need our money. They need our prayers. They need our partnership. And as they go out in the earth, they are going out for the sake of the name of Christ. When you see the glory of Jesus, and when God touches your heart and begins to break you, that there's sections of, there are regions in the world where nobody knows the name of Jesus, and they don't know that Christ died for sinners. And there's no worship of Christ going on in that section of the world. It'll make you take risks and go out, though it be dangerous, though it will cost you comfort and pleasure in this life, it will make you step out for the sake of the name. Hey guys, the Bible is calling us this morning to show love by doing what we can for the sake of God's name in the earth. To partner with those that He leads us to. And you know, we ought to be people who are going out for the sake of the name. Not all of us are called to go to the Middle East or Africa or the islands or here or there. But we are all called to go out and take the gospel wherever God has stationed us. Amen? Do you believe that? You know, the big evangelism ministry of the church at Medellay, do you know what it is? It's the members of the church being witnesses where you are and where you live and where you work and where you go to school. And we'll have, you know, organized outreaches from time to time. But the heart and soul of the evangelism ministry of this church is you and I, each one of us, taking the name of Jesus to where God has put us. Amen? That's the vision. You are to go and shine that light. And so Gaius is a good example of walking in truth. He held to the gospel, walking in love by supporting people who had gone out for the sake of the name. Well, let's meet another guy from church history. John is going to write about a guy who, he's a bad example for us. And again, we've talked about that Jesus and Paul and John, they weren't afraid to name names of false teachers. And John calls this guy out right here. Let's read verse 9 and 10. We're going to meet this guy. His name is Diotrephes. The Bible says, John says, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. That is, he won't support the missionaries who have gone out. And he also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Wow. This is Diotrephes. If Gaius is the positive example for us of a man who had a testimony that he walked in truth and he walked in love, now John gives us a testimony of Diotrephes. He did not walk in truth and he did not walk in love. He is counted out on both of those areas. First, we see in those verses that Diotrephes is a man who likes to put himself first. Listen to me. Selfishness is the enemy of love in Jesus' church. Let me say that again. Selfishness is the enemy of love in Jesus' church. Do you see how John has contrasted Gaius and Diotrephes here? Gaius is not putting himself first. He is giving generously to others. He's following Jesus who called us not to selfishness but to self-denial. If anyone would follow me, what did Jesus say? He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so, brothers and sisters, Jesus has called us not to a life of selfishness, self-focus, self-centeredness, but to a life of self-denial. Love gives. Do you believe that? Do you? It's easy to say you love somebody, but if you won't give to them, you don't love them. Right? Love gives. That's biblical. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Jesus in Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. Yet I live, it's not I but Christ who lives in me. In the life I live in the flesh, this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we see that spoken of both of the Father and the Son. He loved and He gave. Brothers and sisters, we are called to love, and that will be seen in giving. Gaius loved the name. And so he gave to these men who went out for the sake of the name. But Diotrephes likes to put himself first. Sadly, there are those in the church today who do this same thing, who don't give. I'm not talking about money. This is not a plea for money this morning. Amen? But of love. When we are selfish, when we like to put ourselves first, we won't support, we won't give, we won't help. Instead, we will focus on our own needs and our own wishes. And that's what Diotrephes was doing. Selfishness cripples discipleship. What is the Holy Spirit showing you this morning? Are you a giving part of the church? Are you a selfish part of the church? Man, let's repent where the Lord shows us our sins. Secondly, what did Diotrephes do in that passage? He did not acknowledge the authority of John the Apostle. Do you think throughout church history there have been people who won't acknowledge those who are leading in the church? Sadly, that's a thing. There are some people who want to run the show, so to speak. They want things in the church to be done their way or not at all. These are guys who want to play for power in the church. Man, that's the opposite of the heart of Jesus. How did Jesus teach us to lead as leaders in the church? He told Peter and the apostles, Gentile leaders out here, unbelievers, they like to lord their authority over people. But it will not be so among you. Rather, what? The greatest among you will be the least. We are called to servant leadership in the church of Jesus Christ. And even you may not be a pastor or an elder, but we are all called to serve has called us to do. So do you see that here with Diotrephes? He is selfish. He wants the power. He does not acknowledge the apostle that Jesus put in charge. Thirdly, what's he doing in the text there? Verse 10, John says, if I come, I'm going to bring up what he's doing. What's he doing? Talking wicked nonsense against the apostle. What's that called? Gossip, slander, lies. So, let's check it. Truth and love. How's Diotrephes doing? Well, he's not loving because he's a selfish man. And he's not full of truth because he's speaking lies against the apostle. He's counted out on both truth and love. Guys, this is the Word of God. As we see this example, this is what it looks like in real life. Diotrephes really lived in church history. And he really failed to show truth and love. What about us? God forbid that we associate in a church because we want to get power, get a name for ourselves, or any of that mess, that foolishness. What about the sin of lying about one another? Gossip in the church. May God pull that up by the roots out of us so that we speak kindly toward one another. I think in the book of Titus, Paul says, speak evil of no one. Wait, what about in politics? Speak evil of no one. Even those with whom we disagree. Speak evil of no one. Slander is a wicked sin. Amen? Oh, Jesus said we will give an account of every word that we've spoken. Love and truth is what we're called to in the church. So here's a man who has no love and speaks no truth. And worse than that, John said he's not content with that. That's bad enough. But now, he's kind of, whether he was a pastor in the church or not, we don't know. But he took over and he began to, he didn't support the traveling Christian workers. And then he stopped people in the church who wanted to support the missionaries. So there were people in Diotrephes' church and they said, hey, we want to welcome these guys into our house. We want to feed them. We want to give them money for their trip. And Diotrephes, he said, no. I forbid anyone in the church to support these guys. And John said he went further than that. The ones who said, no, we're going to support them. He kicked them out of the church. That was an abuse of church discipline. What a guy, right? So this is an abuse of power. And we've seen that throughout church history where pastors don't walk in truth and love. And they abuse their authority. And that is a sin. Right? We all have to humble ourselves and walk in truth and love. So this is the thing we have before us this morning. Gaius had a testimony for truth and a testimony for love. Diotrephes was going crazy in the church. He had no truth. He had no love. We're almost done with the letter, but let's continue here. Verse 11, he says, John has drawn a lesson for us from these two guys. In verse 11, beloved, do not imitate evil, Diotrephes. I mean, this comes right after the section on Diotrephes. He says, don't imitate the bad examples, but imitate good. In other words, find the guy that's walking in truth and love and go do what he's doing. Amen? Find the guy that's not walking in truth and love and don't follow him. He says, whoever does good, and in this context, doing good is walking in truth and walking in love. Whoever does good is from God. His fruit shows it. But whoever does evil has not even seen God. I think he's telling us that Diotrephes is not saved. Or at least he's showing evidence that he is not saved. Don't follow the bad examples of those who have no love in their heart and no truth in their teaching. Follow the ones in the church who are loving and generously giving themselves, serving one another, not walking in selfishness, holding to the gospel truths and loving one another. So guys, which example are you following this morning? If we looked at your life, if you looked at my life, are we following Gaius, who is showing us Christ-likeness? Or are we kind of selfish like Diotrephes? What would the Lord, you know, bring up in our hearts this morning? If we have love, we're not going to be categorized by selfishness. I think we can be categorized either by selfishness or service. Selfishness in the church or service in the church. There's a passage in the book of Acts, guys, that always touches my heart. It's when there was a Christian church there, and in that church there was a lady named Tabitha, and she died. And the church sent for Peter because he was nearby. And they brought Peter in, and the women of the church came in. And they pleaded with Peter to raise Tabitha from the dead. They were mourning this sister. And do you know what they were saying? They said, they were holding up articles of clothing that Tabitha had made for them. And they were weeping for her. And they said, look how she loved us. Look how she served us in the church. They, at her death, at her funeral, they were holding up the evidences of that woman's heart of love for her sisters in the church. Guys, that's a precious passage of Scripture. Amen? Are we categorized by selfishness or service? Wow. And so that's what this is calling us to this morning. There's two more people that we need to look at as we close. The next guy is Demetrius. Another D name here. Different guy. He is not Diotrephes. Demetrius, a lot of scholars think this is the guy who carried these letters to the churches for John. And so John is kind of, he's vouching for his courier. He says in verse 12, Demetrius has received a good testimony. There's that word testimony again. He's vouching for that brother. He has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. What a statement. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So John is vouching for Demetrius. Well, he's at the end of the letter, but I want to bring up one last example for us this morning of truth and love, and that is the one who wrote this letter, the Apostle John himself. Notice from the start of the letter and the end of the letter, John exemplifies what it looks like to have truth and love. Notice, starting out, he writes that he loves Gaius in the truth. And then in verse 2, he prays for Gaius. And here's what he says. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Now, this is a verse that has been taken out of context over church the last 100 years of church history. As I was studying this, one commentator said that for 2,000 years of church history, nobody interpreted this verse as anything but just a prayer of blessing. John loves Gaius, and he prays that things are going well. But about 100 years ago, there was a group of kind of hyper-charismatic, Pentecostal-type people who began to interpret this verse as a promise that God wants every Christian to never get sick and to always have a lot of money. And they, some translations translate this, I pray that you may prosper. And so they take this as one of the key foundations to prosperity gospel. And, I mean, as we have just read this in its context, there is nothing here that you could say, wow, this is a promise that no believer is ever going to not be sick. This is a promise that every Christian is going to be rich. You've really got to twist things to get there, don't you? This is an example of John the Apostle loving Gaius. And he's writing, brother, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that things are going well in your life. I'm praying that you have health and strength and that God's meeting your needs. So that's an example of John loving this brother. And then he closes the letter. Look at the end of the letter with me, verse 13. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them. God, this is really cool because we're getting a peek into early church life. John is writing to a real man, and he loves this guy. And he said, I had a lot to say, but I'm not going to write anymore. I would rather sit down face to face with you and fellowship with you guys. And I mentioned this last week. He closed 2 John with these similar words. But in our day, if we're not careful, we're forgetting, we're losing the art of face-to-face communication. We're leaning, perhaps too much, on digital or virtual communication, and a lot can be lost in that. I just want to put this out here as we seek to build our church by Christ and His gospel, that you just can't replace face-to-face fellowship. I said last week that, you know, listening to a podcast is good if you've missed the sermon, but never let that be your only source of hearing the truth. It's better to come side by side, meeting together with brothers and sisters in the local body, right? To hear the teaching face to face. You know, and yeah, if you missed something, go back and listen to it. But an online church service, I mean, it's good when that's your only option. But God wants us to have a fuller joy by loving each other face to face. I'm not going to harp on that or hit that anymore. But I do want us to maybe ask ourselves, am I giving myself, biblically, as John has put forth in these last two letters, am I making a priority in my life for face-to-face fellowship? You will if you love the brothers. So here we are. We finished the letters of 2 and 3 John. And God has called us to two great responses to these letters: to believe His truth and to love one another. To believe the gospel and to live it out in love together. That's what we as a church are called to do. So I asked this at the beginning. I want to ask it again. Where are you? Which one of these are you falling short in? Going forward, I want the church at Meadow Lake, I want us to all be on the same page. What are we building? What kind of church? What's important to us here? And we've got to be a church, a people who prize truth. Truth matters. Because everybody that goes ahead of the truth does not have God. We've got to be a people who are showing Conway what the truth of God is. Amen? We are a people who are proclaiming to the lost, this is what the gospel is, without watering it down, making it easier to swallow, changing it, twisting it, none of that. We've got to be a people who love truth. But we've also got to be a people who don't turn into a bunch of, you know, inward looking, you know, forgetting that there's people dying and go to hell, people who are mean or indifferent. We must be a people of love, even as we walk out truth. Amen? And so, I want us to have a time of prayer, and let's ask the Lord to make us people of truth and love. And by the way, I got to say this, the great example to us, we've seen Gaius, we've seen Demetrius and John, we've seen a bad example in Diotrephes, but Jesus is our example. Did Jesus walk in truth and love? Jesus is the truth. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, Jesus walked in truth. Did He walk in love? Diotrephes likes to put Himself first. Did Jesus put Himself first? No, He left the pleasures and comforts of heaven and came down to die for us. There is no greater example of love, is there? And so the one we follow is the one who has blazed the trail for us. He has led the way in truth and love. Brothers and sisters, Jesus died on the cross for our sins in His great love. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." As they were taking His life, or as He was giving it up, He was praying for us. This is the one who walked in love. Lord God, we ask You this morning to take these words in 2nd and 3rd John that we've studied these last 3 weeks, and to plant them in our hearts, O God. Show us Christ, His death and resurrection. Father, we pray that You would make us people of truth and love. We ask You to build us as a church of truth and love. Father, help us to repent of selfishness in our lives. Whatever it looks like, however it shows up in our lives, crush this crippling sin of selfishness and make us a people of love and service to the brothers. Father, we've heard this morning that we love what we put our money in. And God, we ask You to help us to be a people that love each other with our money, that love Your gospel with our money, that supports the work that You've called us to, the work here in this ministry and the partners that we support around the world. Father, help us to be a generous people, full of love. Help us to be a people who enjoy fellowship face to face. Make us a family of believers, God, who know each other, who are meeting with each other, sharing meals together. Not just a Sunday morning club. God, knit our hearts together in love. I pray, Father, for any this morning who are not committed to love as a response to the gospel. I ask You in Jesus' name, give them that enablement to be committed to the love of God in the local church. Father, I pray for any who don't know the truth. Maybe they've been a Christian for years, but they've not grown in the depths of the truth. Lord, in Jesus' name, lead us. Make us a place, a people, Lord, where the truth is heard powerfully, clearly, and where the atmosphere is the love of God in Christ. Lord, we confess where we have fallen short in these areas. Holy Spirit, will You correct us gently? We thank You, God, for the name of Jesus that is being worshipped in the earth. Lord, may the name be worshipped in our city. May the name be worshipped in all the regions of the earth. Father, if it's your will to send out people who are here this morning, to go out for the sake of the name, I pray that you would call them. Make that known. Lord, we love you because you have first loved us. Father, we are so weak, but so great is your love. We thank you for the truth of the gospel that you gave your Son. You raised him up. Be at work in us, Father, for the glory of your name. Take just a moment. Respond to God's word this morning. Show us how to love one another. Father, break our hard hearts. Crush the selfishness in us, Lord. Let us worship you, God, by serving each other. Lord, speak to us this morning. Right now, I pray you show us specific ways that you want us to serve the body. Lead us, Lord. We ask these things in the precious name, the name of Jesus. Amen.